You're listening to the serialized podcast version of The Mark of a Druid, a fiction fantasy novel written and read by Rhonda R. Carpenter. To be sure that you get all of the episodes, go to rhondacarpenter.com. Episode 4, Chapter 5, Dinner with a Friend. I'll not drink! No! The scream roared from Eve's throat, reverberating in her ears. It wasn't her voice. She sat bolt upright, choking. Another goddamn dream, she muttered. The hardwood floor was cold beneath her palms. A current of air poured down the open flue of the fireplace. Eve was dazed. Clear thought seemed an impossibility. Her head throbbed. Hands trembling, she wiped her eyes. The dream's images raced through her mind. The room spun, and so did her stomach. Raking her hands through sandy hair, Eve willed consciousness from the other side of a murky chasm. Slowly the room came into focus. A shiver rippled over her flesh and raised the hair on her arms, even though she wore a robe. Why am I so cold? Eve pulled the blanket closer. She groaned and arched her stiff back. She ran her tongue over dry lips. A sticky, sweet taste lingered there, but she didn't recognize it. Eve reached for the journal that lay on the floor next to the discarded dream analysis book. The urgency to record Alian's life was all-powerful. Her wrists tingled, but she chalked it up to the tight cuffs of her robe. She felt driven, as if something outside of herself must tell this story. Eve scratched the dream on the pages in front of her. Kaz announced his hunger with the standard meow of, "Come on, get to the can already." Eve ignored him. He rubbed his fawn-striped face against the edge of the journal while she wrote, "Could the first dream and this one be connected? Why is there such a feeling of urgency about these dreams? I feel like I've been away for days. Why do I hurt all over? Just get it all on paper," she admonished herself while pausing and searching for details in a still foggy mind. What is it she called that concoction? Ah, right. Banewort and Blackroot. In both dreams, the taste of licorice was present. The storms, the lightning, the man's face, all were in the first dream. All revisited in the second. Whichever, had removed her clothes in order to swim, though she didn't make it into the water. Kaz was relentless in his pursuit for her attention. He yowled and paused at the journal until Eve finally gave in to his demands. "All right already. I'll feed you now. Geez, you act like you haven't eaten in a week." He ran ahead of her, stopping at the stereo cabinet, looking back at her. "Kaz, we don't keep the cat food in there. You know that, you silly gato." She walked past him. He voiced his opinion again. Eve set the journal on the table, then popped the top on the cat food, while Kaz stepped on her feet trying to get to the bowl. The sun was streaming through the kitchen windows. She couldn't help but notice that it was low in the sky. She turned to look at the clock on the coffee maker. 4:30? I slept all day? No wonder the cat's yowling at me. Where had the day gone? I love to sleep, but this is ridiculous. I've never slept through a whole day before. A compulsion pushed at the edge of her mind. She sat down at the table, picked up the journal, and finished recording the dream. The scrawled note at the bottom of the page read, "His eyes were like the color of golden autumn leaves. He was tattooed. Research the symbols. Interlacing knots. Waves. Long-nosed dog. A funny stick thing with a circle. Look up Banewort and Blackroot in the Herb Encyclopedia. The daughter of a Viking. Canut, son of a king. Alian of the red hair. Sister's name, Athene. Mother's name, Auroch." Eve slapped the cover shut in time to see Kaz paw once again at the stereo cabinet. "Knock it off, Kaz." Nothing seemed important compared to the still vivid images of the dream. She poured coffee, then walked to the bathroom. Eve took off her robe, and a shock ran through her body. Her mind reeled at what she saw in the mirror. There were marks on her wrists. She touched them gingerly. She realized that the rough, torn, bruised skin did not hurt. It simply tingled. Eve raised her head, looking into the mirror, completely expecting to see Alian's face. It was her image staring back. She silently thanked the powers that be for that. Then a flash of something at her shoulder caught her eye. A discoloration? Eve reached a wavering hand for the small mirror. What is that? Brownish in color, like a birthmark, the small symbol had three lines that met at the top. The small circle above them barely touched the tips of the triad shape below. It was exactly like the tattoo on his hand. Every muscle in Eve's body convulsed with disbelief. What in the hell is happening to me? Tears edged from the corner of her eyes and trickled down her cheeks. She grabbed the porcelain sink and braced herself. The coolness of it made Eve shake even harder. The room spun. Her vision edged inward. Oh, my God, no. Her knees buckled. She grabbed for the wall, sliding to the ceramic tile floor just before everything faded to black. Dragged back to consciousness, Eve's lids fluttered open. The cat was staring back at her. He licked the side of her face with a sandpaper tongue. Eve realized he must have been doing so for a while because there was a very sensitive patch of skin on her cheek. She sat up on the bathroom floor, her head between scraped knees. The room stopped spinning, but her mind did not. There was a loud knock at the front door. Her wobbly legs shuddered in protest as she rose. Slipping into her robe, Eve made her way to the front door. She heard Andrea's voice from outside the door.
Eve! Are you in there? We have a date.
She pulled the door open to the smiling, cheerful face of her longtime friend and mentor. Andrea was a lovely 30-something-year-old auburn-haired Irish PhD. Immediately, Andrea's face changed as ginger brows furrowed over sparkling emerald eyes. What's wrong with you? You're not even dressed. Are you sick? You, my friend, don't look so good. Eve waved her in, not answering the barrage of questions. She saw Andrea's green eyes locked onto the bruises at her wrists, but she said nothing and waved her to a chair. Her expression moved from playful concern to serious alarm. Eve? What happened to you? She reached for Eve's injured wrists. Well, you're never going to believe this. I don't. Tears stung the backs of Eve's eyes. But some guy in a big boat tied me up and took me captive last night. In my dreams. When I woke up this afternoon, I had these, and that's not the half of it. I don't know what's going on. She took a hesitant breath. I need to take a shower. Andrea's mouth dropped open as if to stop Eve, and then snapped closed. Eve had the distinct feeling that Andrea didn't believe her, but then, who could blame her? Eve didn't believe herself. She turned for the shower, telling Andrea to make herself at home. I'll be right back. And I'll be right here. Eve heard Andrea call after her. Eve avoided her reflection in the mirror as she turned on the shower. The hot water beat down on tense, aching muscles. This relieved some of the stiffness, but sleeping for a full day on the hardwood floor had made every muscle in her body ache. At least Eve hoped it was from sleeping on the floor and not from the dream. The pain was beyond what hot water alone could completely soothe away. When she turned her head, her neck cracked with a loud series of pops as the vertebrae settled into position. Eve stepped out of the tub and wiped a small spot clear on the steamed mirror, just big enough to see her face. Eve's mind was filled with how and what questions that she could not answer. Conflicting thoughts swarmed like locusts, ravaging a field of crops. Eve's analytical mind was shattered trying to make sense of the whole thing. While her emotions were plagued with an urgency that she could not identify. She quickly blew her hair dry and entered the hallway. Andrea was sitting in Eve's favorite chair, staring at the cat. He was rubbing his body back and forth along the stereo cabinet. "Do you want me to turn the stereo off? It seems to be bothering him." Andrea cocked an eyebrow. The thing wasn't playing any music. And Eve hadn't even noticed the power was on. Sure, go ahead. I'm going to get dressed. Eve climbed the steps. When Eve finished putting on her jeans, she reached for a loosely woven sweater. The beveled antique mirror of her great-grandmother's wardrobe called to her from across the room. Fixated, she stepped closer. Eve looked at the mark on her right shoulder. I've never had a birthmark. How is this possible?
Eve, who are you talking to?
Andrea's voice carried up the steps.
Myself,
Eve called back.
I'm almost ready. Be right down.
She slipped the sweater over her head and shoes on her feet. Unable to make internal sense of her feelings, Eve began to shake with sheer uncertainty. She treaded lightly while descending the staircase to the living room. Andrea greeted her with a hug. Friendly arms around her brought her a feeling of safety and comfort. Their breathing came into synchronized patterns of inhale, exhale. Eve identified the technique Andrea was using, a nonverbal induction her mentor had taught the first day of class. With each gentle exhale, Andrea was softly pressing down on Eve's shoulders, and then lifting the pressure slightly with each inhale. It felt good to release the tension. The induction was not one that Eve would have used with her clients, but it was very effective, and she was thankful for the physical contact. Quickly, Eve's shoulders went completely slack, and the tension in her body began to drain away. Andrea, I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. Andrea took a deep breath, giving Eve a squeeze and gently letting go. Using the maternal tone that Eve loved to hear, she said, Eve, everything will be okay. Why don't we just go to dinner? Andrea looked concerned, but she spoke in a light tone and tilted her head with a reassuring smile. Nodding, Eve turned off the lights. She told Kaz to be good, closed the door, and locked it behind them. They drove up the street in Andrea's car in silence. Attempting to block out her fear, Eve searched for something to talk about, but found nothing. The sound of the humming engine sent Eve into her own little world. When Andrea turned off the ignition, it jarred Eve out of her cloudy thoughts. Eve, let's feed you and talk, shall we? A playful smile graced her freckled cheeks, and Eve faked a smile in response. They walked to the door of the restaurant they had frequented at least a half dozen times in the last year. The hostess knowingly welcomed them. Miss Eve, Miss Andrea, table for two? She asked in a thick Spanish accent. Andrea nodded. Yes, Eve said. Can we have a booth in the back, please? She really didn't feel like being in a crowd of people. The hostess weaved between tables to the last booth at the back of the restaurant. Andrea slid into her side of the bench, and Eve into the other. Eve flipped open the menu. Tantalizing smells drifted through the room, and suddenly she was aware she was famished. Dishes clanked, and voices were raised in conversation around them. The waitress approached. Simultaneously, Andrea and Eve asked for water with lemon, no ice, then looked at each other and laughed. The connection between the women had been instantaneous. At the time, Eve was 19 and in her second year at UCLA. She was focusing on getting her degree in psychology, planning to go into private practice. Eve had embraced the new semester. She looked forward to her classes, but hypnosis, an ancient way of helping modern people, was the one she couldn't wait to attend. Little did she know that she would find her best friend in her new professor. The connection had never waned over the years. Andrea believed that everyone held their own answers and was considered a conservative spiritualist in her field. She loved the dynamic mix of traditional cognitive therapy and hypnosis techniques to assist her clients. Eve, on the other hand, had channeled her career toward the research side of hypnosis. That class and its teacher had changed her life for the better. She recalled Andrea as she looked on that first day. Andrea was thinner, but not by much. Her red hair had been shorter then, but the eyes were the same emerald green, like the isle of her ancestors. Eve glanced across the table. We've known each other a long time, Eve. Do you remember when we met? Eve laughed. I was just thinking about the first day when I walked into your class. You and I got on so well right from the first moment, didn't we? She knew she was right, but she needed to hear something. Anything that would make her feel like she was more connected to reality. A spaciness still lingered around her. Yes. The smile swept across Andrea's face, showing a gleam of pearly teeth. I wouldn't trade our friendship for the world. The waitress approached with the water. I need to run to the ladies' room. As Eve stood up, so did Andrea. I'll go with you. I'll just leave my jacket. They entered the ladies' room, one after the other. The two stall doors closed with a clang of steel against steel. Eve, how much pain are you in? Pain? No pain. There's just a strange tingling sensation at my wrists, knees, and on my back. I don't think I would call it pain so much as discomfort. Andrea exited the stall with a loud flush and walked to the sink. Eve followed seconds later. The stall door slammed of its own volition behind her. Andrea watched Eve in the mirror. She hesitated, then asked, "What do you mean, your back?" She crossed her arms over her chest. Eve pulled at the collar of her sweater, revealing the mark. Andrea gasped, "What is that?" "I don't know, and no, it wasn't there before." Andrea touched the mark on the back of Eve's shoulder, running her finger around the circle that joined the triad-shaped lines below it. "Does it hurt?" "No, it just tingles like tiny charges of electricity surging through me." "Interesting. It sort of looks like a tattoo, but it's rays, so I guess not." "I've never even considered a tattoo in my life." A strong masculine hand flashed in Eve's mind. The long-nosed dog, a triad-shaped symbol. It was the same symbol from the dream. The menu hadn't changed in the last year, and they knew what they wanted. Andrea said nothing until she ordered dinner. Eve stared at the candle on the table, watching the flame dance inside the red thumbprint glass container. "Eve! Oh, Eve, come back! Where were you just now?" She hadn't been anywhere. It was just the freaking dream again. She looked up from the white tablecloth and asked, "Do you think I'm crazy? Could I be imagining all this or hallucinating? I couldn't have hurt myself in my sleep, could I?" "No, I don't think so." Andrea shook her head. "I don't know what's happening to you, but it's real enough, and you have the marks to prove it." She looked down at Eve's wrists, still swollen and red. The bruises were a deep shade of dark bluish black on each of her wrists. "Eve, I noticed the dream analysis book on the floor. Did you break down the dream?" "No. I mean, yes, I analyzed a dream, but not this dream. Not the one that left the marks. But I think they're related. I don't know." Her voice trailed off into nothingness. The waitress approached the table. Andrea sat silently while the waitress placed a huge plate of enchiladas, rice, and beans in front of her. Eve's plate of chicken mole with black beans and rice was set in front of her, with a warning that the plate was hot. The server asked if they needed anything else, but both women indicated that they were fine, and the girl left the table. "How many dreams like this have you had, Eve?" "The night before last, I had a strange one. It woke me from a dead sleep. I think it may have been the first, but I'm not sure." "What do you mean, the first? Do you think the experiences are connected?" "I've no idea what is connected to what. I mean, I don't know. Listen, I witness so many strange things every day in my research subjects. I watch their regressions change their lives, take away physical ailments, and on and on. I see, I know what the mind can do. Look, I've seen people who can't function in everyday life because of what they think is real or not real. I just don't know how this measures up to that. The dreams were lifelike and had the feel of a regression. But there's a strange quality that I can't describe. It wasn't like anything I've ever experienced before. It's disjointed, but very real." They lifted their forks, but Andrea stopped in mid-movement. She stared at Eve with the strangest look on her face and said, "Did you tell David about this?" Eve couldn't believe Andrea was even asking about David. They hadn't dated since last year, and she knew that. "No, why should I?" Eve snapped, without thinking how it would sound. Andrea just looked at her and placed her loaded fork into her mouth, then shrugged. Just asking. It popped into my mind. He is one of your research partners. Well, to be quite honest, I just woke up from passing out on the bathroom floor when you got there. What? Passing out? You passed out? When I saw the mark on my shoulder, my knees buckled. And then you were knocking. I'm still numb. I'm not sure it would be wise to tell anybody about these. Eve held out her wrists. He doesn't seem to be interested in anything except the tapes he's been producing. He's been really strange lately. Missing staff meetings, not calling in. His client base has even dropped off. The man is always caught up in himself. Not that that's a big change, Eve rolled her eyes with a shrug of her shoulders. Who cares? We are long over, and it's okay with me. But it wasn't, and she knew it. Eve finished the black beans and moved to the rice. Or are we? David had given no indication that he was interested at all. But then again, he hadn't been a jerk-off lately either, and there was the invitation to dinner. I've always felt a strong pull for his acceptance. On some level, I want him to love me, Eve thought. Andrea fell silent while she ate, and Eve was grateful not to have to relive the dream. As they finished, Eve noticed Andrea staring at her wrists. The look of concern was clearly etched on her face. Don't worry, Andrea said. I'll poke around, see what I can come up with. I'm sure there's an explanation or a document or case study of a dream causing physical manifestations. The hostess brought the check. They split the bill and walked to the car. Eve searched for a change of subject and was relieved to find it parked in front of her. Hey, when did you get this? You really are out of it. We drove here in it? Well, my father, you know how he is. Bought it and hated it. Go figure. So I took it off his hands. Richard thinks it's the hottest thing going. She chuckled and unlocked the passenger door. Eve plunked down into the seat, regretting the action at once. Damn, everything is sore. No more sleeping on the floor. Eve silently vowed. How is that strapping young man of yours? Andrea beamed with pride. He's top of his class. The school is talking about moving him up a grade. By the way, he said to ask you when he could come and see Kaz again. Andrea, get him a cat of his own, for God's sake. He's 11 now. He'll take care of it. How about for his birthday? The big 12. Why not give him a kitten? She looked at Eve with a sly grin and said, maybe his Aunt Eve will. They laughed all the way home, catching up on Richard's antics. He was a charming child with great manners. Eve had never met a kid like him. He was wise beyond his years and had just wormed his way into Eve's heart and stayed there. Most boys his age would have wanted a dog, but he'd fallen in love with Cosmo from the first time he'd laid eyes on him, and he wanted a cat ever since. Andrea pulled into the driveway. Eve invited her in. No, I need to pick up Richard from a playdate. Will you be all right? Have been up till now. Go on, get the kid. Tell him to come by whenever he wants. All right, but I'll check on you later, Andrea said. Eve closed the car door and watched her friend drive off. Kaz waited at the window. His eyes glowed gold in the darkness. He was unmoving except for the occasional blink. She stuck her key in the lock and he moved. Eve made ready for his typical escape to the sidewalk by placing her foot in front of him while she shimmied through the door. The answering machine's blinking red light flashed in the dark room. She pressed the button, listening as she poured a glass of water. A deeply resonant Welsh voice spoke. Ms. McCormick, this is Ryerson Sanders. I received your email. All of the dates are acceptable except one. Would it be possible to change the last session to the day prior at the same time? If you could please email your response as soon as possible, I'd be very appreciative. Thank you ever so much. I will speak with you soon. Cheers. Eve smiled, but she didn't understand why. She just went to her office. Cheers, she thought. That's what I need. Work. Work to keep me busy. Eve emailed the change was not a problem. If he didn't mind coming to her home office for the session. She included the directions to her home and the address, telling him that she would confirm his appointments when the dates approached. Then she reviewed her new email. 2 hours later, she shut the computer down. She didn't realize how mentally exhausted she was until the hum of the computer slowed and then stopped with a zzzz. She wished for an off switch for her brain. Instead, she settled for throwing her clothes on the floor and climbing into the queen-size bed. Kaz made himself comfortable after scolding her for leaving him alone, and then not even having the common courtesy to bring him a kitty sack with scraps. She and the cat curled up in the down comforter. She must have drifted off between blinks. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of The Mark of a Druid, and stop back again. Pick up the next episode at rhondacarpenter.com or themarkofadruid.com. So until next time, thanks and take care.